Goodness and mercies shall follow you all the days of your life as you dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lift up those hands, give God thanks this morning. Let's give Him praise and glory. Let's give Him honor and adoration. Magnify His name. Father, thank you for another precious time in your presence, for your goodness and mercies running after us every day. We exalt your name, Lord. We give you glory, Lord. We give you honor, Lord. Give Him thanks this morning. Give Him praise this morning. Give Him glory and honor. Give Him all adoration and exalt Him. Father, we thank you. Blessed and blessed and blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' most marvelous name, we have given thanks.
Amen.
In Jesus' precious name, we have given thanks.
Amen.
The showers of blessings will rush at you this morning.
Amen.
Somebody will be drenched in that shower this morning.
Amen.
These blessings will follow you till the end of this year.
Amen.
And beyond. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
These blessings will rush at your children.
Amen.
And your children's children.
Amen.
In the glorious name of Jesus
Amen.
Christ. And so shall it be. In Jesus' marvelous name.
Amen.
Father, thank you because we have arrived again at your feet. Speak to us expressly.
Amen.
Open our ears to hear.
Amen.
Open our hearts to understand.
Amen.
And let us be doers of the word.
Amen.
Let the weapon of praise liberate everyone here present
Amen.
This morning. And your name glorified. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' most glorious name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Help me congratulate your neighbor on your right and to your left. Tell your neighbor your season of testimony is finally here. Your season of breakthrough is finally here. In the name of Jesus Christ. You can put those hands together for the Lord now. And please be seated comfortably. Glory to God. Prophetic focus for the month, showers of blessings. And somebody will be swimming in that shower in the name of Jesus Christ. Our teaching series that we started last week, Sunday, praise facilitates fulfillment of prophecies. Praise facilitates fulfillment of prophecies. And we said that every time God speaks, the enemy has a contrary opinion. Every time God speaks, the enemy has a contrary opinion. It is part two. Praise facilitates the fulfillment of prophecies, and this will be part 2A. Every time God speaks, the enemy has a contrary opinion. And every time God speaks to his people, the enemy always comes with a counter. Genesis chapter 2, for example, 15 to 17, the Bible speaking, it says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it, to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, now this is what God said, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Take note of what God said. Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That was what God said. But look at the interpretation of the enemy. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. It said, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea. And every time you see yea, that means a surety. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? That's not what God said. Glory to God. And the woman said, no, that's not what God said. And the woman tried to correct the enemy. So in verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, because there are consequences. What is the consequence? Lest ye die. It's from only one tree that God said we shouldn't eat from, in order to avoid death. But look at what the enemy said in verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. He is a liar and the grandfather of it. Every time God speaks, he has a contrary opinion. Look at how he came. He came with a question first. As God said, you should not eat of any tree of the garden. That's not what God said, but he knows where he's going. Glory to the name of the Lord. His mission is to try to truncate God's plans and ruin destinies. That's what he does. While God cannot lie, please take note, the enemy is the grandfather of lies. He is the originator of lies. Anything that comes out of his mouth is a lie. Anything that he says is a lie. The enemy, John 8 and verse 44, he said, ye are, Jesus addressing some people, he says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Every time he opens his mouth to speak, he speaks lies. As a matter of fact, he speaks lies so that you will not believe the truth of scriptures. He tells you something contrary to what God has said, because he does not want you to believe what God has said. God cannot lie. Everything God says is the truth. But every time the enemy speaks, he wants you to believe that God is the liar. Has God said? He wants you to think that God is the liar. As a matter of fact, he told Eve. He says, Eve said, if we eat of this thing, we will surely die. He said, no, you can't, you will not die. In other words, you are saying that God is the liar. If you eat of it, you will not die. What am I saying? When he says it is morning, look outside, because it will be noon. Glory to God. He speaks to discourage while God speaks to encourage. He speaks to make you lose hope while God's word gives you hope. He speaks to me. So rather than allowing his words to weigh us down, we celebrate God's word that gives us hope. God's word shall surely come to pass, and that should give us hope over the lies of the enemy. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 to 21, the word of God calls God's word a more sure word of prophecy. That is the word that will surely come to pass, a word that cannot fail, a word that has been tried several times, that cannot lie. Ye have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in darkness, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Even when Paul will be saying, well, I may not be speaking by the Spirit, but I'm speaking my own opinion. The Bible says it is still God speaking. Glory to God. God is still the one speaking. Every time he speaks from scriptures, the Bible calls it a more sure word of prophecy that must come to pass. Not even the lies of the enemy can stop it from coming to pass. So, very quickly, what does the truth, which is the word of God, say about us believers that the liar wants you to believe otherwise? What is it in scriptures that God says concerning us that the liar wants you to believe otherwise? He says something to you, the enemy tells you, you are the exact opposite of it, because he's a liar. Number one, very quickly, we have a glorious destiny. The Word of God makes us understand that we have a glorious destiny. The enemy wants us to believe that your destiny is trash. But Scripture tells us that we have a glorious destiny. Our destination is not an anyhow destination. It's a glorious one. It's a glorious one. So no matter the lie the enemy wants you to believe, the truth is you have a glorious destiny. Now tell yourself, I have a glorious destiny. Glory to God. It does not matter how long you have been believing God for a job in this nation. The truth still is you have a glorious destiny. And you're not getting a job now does not mean that God has left you alone. He is just gathering and cooking your testimony to make it a glorious one. Glory to God. Romans 8, 29 to 30. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also what? Glorified. He called us out of the lies of the wicked one to give us a glorious destiny. Take a look at this translation, it will bless you. TLB. It says of that scripture, for from the very beginning, God decided that those who came to him and all along he knew who would should become like his son. Who is his son? The one that was glorified should become like his son. Who? So that his son will be the first glorified one, and with many brothers. So we are his brothers. So he was first to be glorified because he's the firstborn, and then we as his brethren are also glorified. And then it didn't end there. So, and having chosen us, he called us to him. And when we came, he declared us what? Not guilty. He declared us not guilty, and I will get to that in a moment. When our accuser talked to him about us, the advocate said, no, he's not guilty. Filled us with Christ's goodness, gave us right standing with himself, and promised us his glory. He said, don't mind the accuser, that's all he does. That's what he will keep doing. Revelation 12, 10, the accuser. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. The accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God. How long? Day and night. So every time you make a little mistake, he's accusing you already. Every time something goes wrong, he's always accusing you. But look at this. Every little thing, that's why he said, not guilty. The accuser takes us to court, and the verdict has always been not guilty. We are not meant for prison, we are meant for glory. Glory to God. We are not meant for the prison. We are meant for glory. So someone here, it does not matter what prison you are currently in, you will be glorified. Because that's what he said. Romans 8, 29 to 30 again. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. But I want you to take note of something here right now.
After he defended us as our advocate, he declared us not guilty, and then he glorified us. When whom? He justified. Justification means this is the reason why you can't accuse this one. Whom he justified, and then after the justification, we were glorified. He takes us to court with the Father, the Son, our lawyer. The Father gives the judgment in our favor. He takes us to court as our accuser, but we have an advocate in the Son. He takes us to the court of the Father. We have an advocate in the Son. And then the Father is the judge. Who do you think, where do you think the judgment is going? In your favor. So he gives the judgment in our favor. Therefore, my little children, 1 John 2 and 1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Our advocate presents our case, and he declares us not guilty based on the facts and not lies. Based on the facts and not lies. Therefore, everyone here present this morning, please remember your destination is glorification. It does not matter where you are right now, but you have a glorious destiny. You have a glorious destiny. It does not matter what you are working in the factory right now, does not mean you still do not have a glorious destiny. I've worked in factories before. Glory to God. Not even here, where we are coming from. Factories where you know factory, when you work in factory there, you know you are working. When you are working in the factory where we are coming from. Not the factory that is here that they give you something to carry the thing. They give you machine. You are just operating machine to pick up stuff and all that. Real factory. Glory to God. When you work in real factory and you get home and you can't even eat. Because not only is your body tired, your mouth is tired. Everything is tired. Where you are now does not determine where you are going. Where you are now is just for you, is just a preparatory stage for where you are going. Because your destination is glorification. Tell yourself, I have a glorious destiny. Tell your neighbor, you have a glorious destiny. Glory to God. 2 Peter 1:3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to what? Glory and virtue. So he has called us to glorify us. Number two, very quickly. What does the truth say about us believers that the liar wants you to believe otherwise? Number two, we have a destiny of health and wholeness. A destiny of health and wholeness. We have been redeemed from sickness to health, but the enemy may want you to believe otherwise. I love this testimony this morning. 40 years ago, they told him, diabetes? You are diabetic. 40 years later, the man is still alive. Well, maybe the doctors are even gone. How many understand what I'm talking about? The doctors that diagnosed him may have gone, but the man outlived them. The truth outliving the lies. Glory to God. No one here, no matter whatever that sickness may have been called, no matter the diagnosis, there shall be a reversal this time. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been redeemed. The truth says we are his ambassadors. That's what the truth says. We are here to represent him. And while representing him, we will be disgracing him if we carry what he does not have. We are his representatives. What happens with you is a reflection of the one that sent you. So if you, the one that sent you, you appear and then you appear rugged, you will not be welcomed. Because the one that sent you does not look like that. They will doubt where you are coming from. Are you sure it's the one that sent you? Because you don't look like him. You don't look like the one that he will send. So wherever we find ourselves, he wants us to represent his health and his wholeness. Not only are we representing him, he lives inside us. He cannot be living in a dilapidated building. He cannot be living in a dilapidated building. You are careful not to send just anybody if you are to be represented somewhere. You take care. I mean, you look at who will best represent you, and then you send them to represent you. Glory to God. I've told you before, I was in an hotel in Lagos, and somebody came to visit me at the hotel, and the person started packing all the tissue and the soap and everything, and I said, ah, no. You have to drop it. Why? Because it is my name that is there. And then when they come to clean the room and they don't see anything again, they know. They know that these things have been piling up. They've been coming here every day and have not packed anything. And they have not replaced anything. And all of a sudden, everywhere is empty. They will look at the name again. Ah, this man. You are giving me a wrong representation if you pack these things from here. And that's not who I am. That's not who I am. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That is, all sicknesses and diseases are now in the past. We have received a new body because he bought us. So when he bought us, he gave us a new body. At redemption, he gave us a ministry or work to do. After he bought us, he cleaned us up and gave us a job to do. What is that job? Verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. The reason for the new body is because of the ministry he gave us. How many understand where I'm going right now? Now, verse 20, he says, now that he has given us a new body, now that then we are ambassadors. When I bought you, I cleaned you up, and then now you can be my ambassador. Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Now then, we are ambassadors. And that means we have no more pact with any sickness or disease. We have a pact of health and wholeness. Therefore, whatever lie the enemy is telling you about your health shall be swallowed up in this service. Matthew 8 and verse 17, it says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmity. He bore our sickness. Himself took it. He took it when he bought us. He took it when he cleaned us. You can't buy a used car and not service it. As a matter of fact, if it's where we are coming from, if there are dents or some things on the car, you take it first to be fixed because you want it to look like brand new. You can't buy. So when he bought us, he cleaned us up. And that's now when he said, now. So he took out all the bad parts of the body. He himself took our infirmities. He cleared off our sicknesses. Why? Now that I've cleaned you up, you are now my ambassador. You can now represent me. For someone here, that sickness shall be wiped off. In the name of Jesus Christ. Number three, what does the truth say about us believers that the liar will want you to believe otherwise? We have a destiny of wisdom. A destiny of wisdom. Our Father is the only wise God. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. If we can inherit glory from him, then it is safe to say that we can inherit wisdom from him. He is the only wise God. Wisdom, and what is wisdom? Wisdom is knowing what to do and doing it. Wisdom is knowing what to do and doing it. Not everyone will do what they know or what they believe that should be done. It is called foolishness. But wisdom is knowing what to do and doing it. For example, my plan includes a glorious Christian home. However, this is what you should do. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit. That you know it does not mean you will do it. And that is why there is a Christian home, but it is not what you are expecting. It's not what he says. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit. The husband is saying, if you don't submit, I won't love you. The wife is also saying, if you don't love me, I won't submit. It has to start from somewhere. If everybody is doing what he says to do, then you will enjoy a glorious Christian home. That is wisdom. Wisdom is simply doing what Scripture says to do. For example, again, he says, the book says concerning us supernatural abundance, but there is what to do. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, pay your tithe. You know it. But are you doing it? Wisdom is to do it. That you know it does not mean you do it. But wisdom is doing what the word says to do. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. That means we are called not only to power, we are called to wisdom. So we have a destiny of wisdom. As a matter of fact, people should be coming to us for solution. You are not supposed to be running to people for solution. Wisdom demands, if you are full of wisdom, people should be running to you for solution. Look at how powerful wisdom is. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 6. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. It says, now, oh, I love this translation. Look at what it says. It said, her strength will derive from the Lord's unchanging stability. Her deliverance will result from wisdom. Her deliverance will result from wisdom and knowledge. Our treasure is the fear of the Lord. So when we begin to engage the knowledge of the truth, which is wisdom, all oppression will vanish. All oppression will vanish. When we decide to engage the knowledge of the truth, which is wisdom, all knowledge will vanish. Someone here, you will not be dull again. I said you will be called Mr. Wisdom, yes. Mrs. Wisdom, from now in the name of Jesus Christ. Number four, what does the truth say about us believers that the liar will want you to believe otherwise? We have a destiny of strength. Say to your neighbor, you have a destiny of strength. That means every form of weakness is a lie of the enemy. After he bought us, like I said, he gave us strength for life's journey. Psalm 105 and verse 37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among them, among their tribes. He brought us out of oppression to a place of strength and eliminated weakness. They were walking in the wilderness every day, and there was not one person say, I'm sick. Not one person lost his or her strength. All that God, like God's servants would say, you are not well, but you are not sick. Glory to God. You are not well, but you are not sick. You know something is going on. You can't run from here to there. You can't walk from here to there, and now you sit down. You walk 5 minutes, you sit down 10. You walk 5, you sit down 10. All that is coming to an end now. In the church in the wilderness, they were operating like stones. They were operating like stones. Acts of Apostles 7 and verse 38. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us. None in the church in the wilderness was reported weak. And we have a better covenant. Not one of them. In the Old Testament, in the wilderness, was the first church, that is the church in the wilderness, not one of them was reported weak. And we have a better covenant. Ephesians 3 and verse 16. That he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Every weakness will be swallowed up today. Every weakness will be swallowed up now. As you praise him this morning, every weakness will be turned to strength in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But very quickly, as we begin to round up, how do we recognize a prophetic word? In other words, how do we recognize the word that is from heaven? The prophetic word. Number one, when the word keeps us pursuing after the things of God. When the word keeps us pursuing after the things of God, that is the word from heaven. If the prophecy is a discouragement from pursuing after God, it is not from heaven. A prophetic word will tell you never to give up on God. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 26. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? It says, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Paul said, I therefore run. Not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Every prophetic agenda will give us hope in pursuing divine agenda, irrespective of what is applicable. Every divine agenda will give us hope in pursuing divine agenda. Glory to God. It may look like your service is not working. It may look like you are even regressing. It's what it says, every prophetic word will keep you going because there is hope ahead. Tell your neighbor, don't give up. Say to your other neighbor, don't give up. Tell yourself, I will not give up. Habakkuk 2 verses 1 to 3. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak. At the end it shall speak. And it cannot lie. Though it tarry for a while, but wait for it. Why? Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So if somebody has capacity to stop you from serving God, they say, why are you not in that department anymore? You see that lady there? She's the one that drove me. You see that guy? He's the one I don't... And that's why you stop serving God. Are they the one that will pay you? Who pays you? God pays you. And the God that you are serving says, you may not be seeing it now. He said, but wait. It will still come. But wait, but don't give up. Keep doing it. Keep pursuing after it because it will surely come. For someone here, it's now your season of reward. I said it's your season of reward. Number two, very quickly, how do we recognize the prophetic word? When the word keeps all forms of fear away, when every form of fear vanishes from us, then it is a prophetic word. Every prophetic word will take away all fear. Any prophetic word that triggers fear is from the enemy. Any prophetic word that makes you go from pillar to post is not from God. Prophetic word comes, every fear clears. Oh, really? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Prophetic word comes, every fear clears. Something has been bothering you, causing you sleepless nights, and then all of a sudden a prophetic word comes, and then it takes the fear away. That is the prophetic word. Not the one that will make you fear more. There was fear in the camp, and everybody started crying. In Exodus chapter 14, the children of Israel were leaving their land of captivity, but there was a challenge. Pharaoh was behind, the Red Sea was before. So there was fear, and everybody started crying, and they started praying. Oh, they started accusing the prophet. Why? Why you should have left us to die there? Why are you, have you brought us here to die here? You should have left us there. Verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. There are things that you will see that will cause you to fear. Am I making sense? And they were so afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and they started complaining. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt. What concerns them is where they will be buried. We don't want to be buried inside this sea. And no graves, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? That's not what they said. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Egyptians you are seeing right now that is causing you fear, after this praise, you will look for them, you won't find them again. And then suddenly, prophetic word came. What is the prophetic word? The Lord thus saith the Lord. That is the prophetic word. And then in verse 15, and the Lord said unto Moses, why fearful criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Go to where? Inside the sea? Yes. Because until you act on this prophetic word, you will die here. Go into the sea. Every fear cleared off. They didn't care for the sea again. They just started marching. And as they started moving, the sea started parting. Because every prophetic word has God inside. And there is nothing that can stop the prophetic word. Whatever is causing you fear now, watch out. By the end of this service, you are rejoicing. I said it is turning to joy for you. It is turning to joy for you. Why? Psalm 114 verses 1 to 7. When Israel went out of Egypt and the people from its strange language, Judah was his sanctuary, Israel his dominion, the sea saw it and fled. The one that gave the word was still by their side. So the one that gave the word was busy clearing all their fears away. Despite everything they did to Joseph, he never lost his joy. Joseph never lost his joy. Despite everything, from when they sold him to when they put him in the pit, to when they sold him to when they put him in prison, Joseph never lost his joy. Why? What kept Joseph going? The prophetic word. They told Joseph at that time, see, a day will come when all your brothers will bow down to you. So Joseph knew he was unkillable, because he had to see what he saw. What he saw, he would still see. What Many of you are casting your head down because of what is temporary. It's temporary. If God has said it, watch out for it. How he will do it is not your concern. You just watch out to see it happen. How it will happen is not your business. Let me give you one word that will make you praise him this morning. Glory to God. Before we, as we rise up right now. Glory to the name of the Lord. Isaiah 46 and verse 4. This is what we are celebrating now. He said, and even to your old age, I am he. God is saying, I won't change. And even to your hoar hairs, will I carry you. Ah. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. Okay, so what are you scared of again? He said, until you have gray hair, I will be carrying you like this. To your whole ears. Why are you scared again? Celebrate the prophetic word. Come on now, somebody rise up on your feet. Rise up on your feet right now. Give God thanks already. I celebrate you, Jesus. I celebrate the prophetic word that is coming, that has come already, because I will see the prophetic word. Celebrate him. Give him thanks. Give him praise. Give him glory. Celebrate him. Celebrate him. Celebrate him. Celebrate him. Lord, I celebrate you. The prophetic word. I celebrate the prophetic word because it's sure is coming to pass. I celebrate the prophetic word because it's sure is coming to pass. I celebrate the prophetic word because it is sure coming to pass. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you. Celebrate him right now. Celebrate the prophetic word. King of glory, I'm celebrating. I do not care what is happening. I am thanking you for what will happen. I do not care what is happening. I am celebrating what will happen. Because your word cannot lie. Because you cannot lie. Because you cannot lie. Celebrate him. Father, we thank you. King of glory, we exalt your name. In Jesus' most precious name, we have given thanks. All heads bowed and all eyes closed. Somebody is here this morning that wants to say, Lord Jesus, I want to know you as my Lord and my Savior. Someone wants to say, King of glory, I want to be born again. Someone else wants to say, Lord, I was born again before, but I walked away from you. Now I want to rededicate my life to you. Why not this morning? All heads bowed and all eyes closed. You are in the first category. You want to say, Lord Jesus, I want to be born again so that I can have a part with you. Put your right hand on your heart, wherever you are. Let me quickly pray with you and for you. Wherever you are, put your right hand on your heart, online and on ground. And then secondly, you were born again before, but you walked away and you want to rededicate your life. Why not this morning? Also put your right hand on your heart, wherever you are. Let me pray with you. Glory to God. Glory to God. And if you are doing that, please repeat these words after me. Say with me, Lord Jesus, I've come to you today just as I am. I know I'm a sinner, but I know you died for me. And on the third day you rose again that I might be justified. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, because now I'm born again. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you for these precious souls. Your grace brought them. Let the same grace preserve them. These ones will never go back to perdition again. They will begin to take root downwards, bear fruit upwards, to the praise and to the glory of your name. In Jesus' most glorious name, we have prayed. You said that prayer in your heart. Wave your hands to Jesus. Somebody will be by your side right now to assist you. Are you waving your hands? Okay, glory to God. Anyone by their side, please assist them right now. You said that prayer online. Send a text message to the number that is being displayed right now, and someone will also be reaching out to you. You are blessed in Jesus' precious name. If you have your table in your hand right now, lift it up to heaven.